Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
In this AudioCast 47, we're going to hear what a celibate priest knows about marriage. So sit back and...
1, 2, 3!
Listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion about marriage. And my special guest is John Proust, the Associate Director for Marriage and Family Life for the Diocese in San Diego. You'll hear how I met him and how we got talking about marriage. And while I normally don't talk to Catholics always about, you know, Catholic things, I just felt it was incredibly appropriate to have this discussion, especially as we all celebrate Valentine's Day. And you could be listening to this show anytime throughout the year. I can certainly tell you this, it will only be helpful for you to not think about marriage and your relationship on Valentine's Day on February 14th, simply because technically, February 14th is the feast day of Saint Cyril and Methodius. They were Slavic doctors of the church who created the Cyrillic alphabet. What does that have to do with love? Exactly. Well, what I think it has to do with love is that love is a language. And as Saint Cyril and Methodius created a language and an alphabet for people to communicate more effectively, I think that's what St. Valentine did, the bishop and martyr. So we're going to hear all about marriage, marriage preparation. If you are a priest, you're going to hear me kind of come at you hard. I will be very honest with you, because I really want to challenge my brother priests to make sure they are getting more involved in marriage preparation. I know tons and tons of priests, and many of them are wonderful men, and they get involved to a degree, but many of them weren't trained in how to do marriage preparation. So I kind of come at them hard, but then I come at lay people hard too and say, if you really want to do something good for the church, then live your vocation well, be formed in it so that you can help form others. That is the fact. So in this appetizer, this amuse-bouche, I'm just setting it up for you so that we can engage in a very deep dish discussion with John Proust. And I'm just gonna leave you with this little thought. The wife says, our new neighbor always kisses his wife when he leaves for work. Why don't you do that? And the husband says, how can I? I don't even know her. Yeah. So what we need to do is stop comparing ourselves to other people's marriages and start comparing ourselves with the love of Christ. And you are going to hear all about it when we return for more Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. We hope you're enjoying this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake, and if you are interested in learning more about marriage preparation and marriage formation, you might want to check out my book, Spicing Up Married Life, available at shop.fatherleofeeds.com. It is a book that encourages not anniversaries, but with 12 chapters, monthiversaries, monthly dinner dates with theological topics, as well as amazing recipes just for two people with engaging questions to start a real conversation about what they want their marriage to be like. And then, of course, a chapter about prayer. So if you want more information on this book, Spicing Up Married Life, you can get it at shop.fatherleofeeds.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion. I am talking to John Proust.
Yep.
He is an associate director at the Office of Marriage and Family Life for the Diocese of San Diego. And in full disclosure, we just got back from eating I ate a banh mi sandwich, which is a Vietnamese sandwich, which because I'm hungry, number one. Number two, John is my handler for this conference that I'm giving. And we just started talking about marriage because you've got problems with trying to get the message out about marriage preparation. So tell me a little bit about you. How did you get involved in this? And then we'll get to the problems.
Yes. I used to work at a parish. One of the things I got to do there was marriage preparation. You know, I'd meet with the couples and follow the diocesan and guidelines. And then I had the opportunity later over the last year to work for the diocese and work in the area of marriage prep. In our diocese, we had a synod last year. And the synod kind of looked at ways following after Pope Francis' synod in Rome, how can we better support families? And certainly one of the things they asked, how can we do marriage prep better? And what they really came down on is—
Wait, did you have training in this?
My only training, I mean, I went to grad school in theology, so I got a Master of Divinity, but
okay.
You know, once you get to the parish, you know, it's a whole nother learning experience of actually meeting the people where they're at. And
just so you know, folks, he's a layman. He is married himself.
Mm-hmm.
You've been married how long?
Been married for 8 years.
And did you get marriage preparation?
We did. Like a lot of couples, our situation was unique. We were kind of between places. We were both finishing grad school, moving to California. We didn't really have a Catholic home base where we could get married. My wife was Presbyterian, so we were one of the many couples that, you know, falls into that mixed marriage category. We did it in two churches. Went through the Catholic church, went through her Presbyterian church.
Which was better?
It was a little more comprehensive. They had us do marriage counseling with an MFT.
You're talking about at the Presbyterian
In the Presbyterian. Catholic was there wasn't much. It was basically, they just gave us the paperwork, fill this out. The priest didn't even really meet with us. The secretary just gave us the paperwork.
And so the Presbyterian church did a better job of marriage preparation.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Hands down.
Oh, not even close. Yeah. I mean, there was marriage preparation in the we technically went through the Catholic church. As far as the paperwork goes and the canonical requirements, but as far as the actual meeting with anybody or being challenged in any way or any kind of spiritual or pastoral growth expectations, there were none. So,
okay, this is good to hear. And this is what I want to learn about. And now you are kind of in charge, so to speak,
right,
of creating, I don't want to say programs, but opportunities, uh-huh, at least a protocol for right, people to get married in the yeah, Catholic Church. What's been your experience of that so far?
What we're trying to do is really it's a paradigm shift. It's completely changing the mentality of marriage prep. I almost feel like where we are in the church right now is where the church was when RCIA first came about, because when people used to be baptized or confirmed in the church, they would meet with the priest really just one-on-one. So there was this really kind of revolutionary mindset of, you know, it's not just the priest or deacon preparing you for the sacraments, but the whole parish. So as an RCIA coordinator, you have sponsors, you build relationships.
It's like it takes a village.
It takes a village, yeah. And it's sort of that same concept. And Pope Francis has used the term marriage catechumenate quite a few times.
Sure.
And it's really this idea of how can we incorporate some of those aspects, some of those things that have made RCIA so successful. And I think you said it, because I think even RCIA, I never liked calling RCIA a program, because I coordinated RCIA at our parish and I really prefer to call it a process, because even RCIA was something where for it to really work for every individual person, you couldn't just ask them to come to the classes, but you really had to meet with them and have that sense of discernment and really make sure, are you ready? Is God calling you to baptism? Is God calling you to
confirmation? Well, programs are kind of just imposed organization on top
one
of something
size fits
that
all.
Really is really up to yeah, the Holy Spirit to do in a
right,
person. But, you know, back to just your experiences. So is it good or bad? I know you're saying you're trying to create a whole paradigm shift. Well, what's
right,
the paradigm now and what are you trying to shift it to?
More of a sense of discernment. You know, if number one, we want to make sure these couples are experiencing a calling to mm-hmm, marriage, and you need someone who's walking with them to not only be asking, you know, are you called to marriage, but also how can we as a parish community help you take the next steps in your faith journey as well? Where are you in your faith journey?
Dude, is this even realistic? Are you serious? People actually think, you actually think, and I'm pushing the envelope just a little bit here, yeah, playing devil's advocate. Do you honestly think people even care about that stuff when they walk into a church just to get married? Well, like, what are people looking for when they come into church? Like, I want to get married here.
Yeah, well, I think that's precisely the point. In a sense, that's why this is needed. I mean, Pope Francis has talked a lot about, you know, going out to the margins, going out to the sheep and so forth. And this is one of those times when they're the margins, in a sense, are coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
So just really needing to make sure that we're taking advantage of this opportunity of these people who...
So you know, what is it now that they are not doing? What are churches... What's been your experience? Are you going to different churches and seeing... How do you do marriage preparation and what are you finding?
Well, a lot of times marriage preparation was, you know, at least in this diocese, you know, we had a pretty good pre-Cana program that all couples were required to go to. Couples were asked to do a pre-marriage inventory. But a lot of times there's really sort of this mentality of outsourcing marriage prep completely. There wasn't a whole lot of how can we connect this couple to the parish? How can we help them grow in their faith here in their own particular parish community?
One of the reasons why that happened is because some priests just aren't good at doing this.
Well, I think there's certainly
I'm not calling anybody out here, but let's just admit it. You know, we've been having conversations prior to this interview that outsourcing was simply a response because, first of all, parishes don't have the resources. They don't have the skilled, capable people to do it. And honestly, priests just might find marriage preparation extremely tedious. I don't want to break it to you, but the joke is I would rather do 10 funerals than one wedding.
Well, no, I think it's true. I think some priests clearly enjoy it and they want to do it and they want to meet with couples. But yeah, others, it's obviously not a passion for them.
Yeah, and so we talked a little bit about how I think marriage preparation needs to be parallel to priestly formation or religious formation. Have you ever heard of that before?
Just in the sense that, you know, obviously you see the disparity between what we ask of preparing for the other sacraments. I mean, even baptism, 2 years of RCIA often, certainly preparing for the priesthood years and years, and marriage, do a Saturday for 7 hours.
Yeah, pretty much. And so prepared. It's like 6 years to become a priest, and it's like six classes.
Right, if we're lucky,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. And so right now, what's been, and just you can be honest with me, mm-hmm. what's been your biggest frustration with all of this?
To me, there's a real sense of urgency about this. I think this is an issue that there's so much potential for growth, for evangelization, for building up young adult ministry, for evangelizing folks that are really sort of, they're not negative towards the faith, but they haven't really experienced that deep conversion that keeps them coming back. And there's such an opportunity to take advantage of marriage preparation for
so
that.
Struggle is that the church isn't using their excitement for marriage in trying to bring them closer to God.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
And certainly, you know, I'm passionate about this topic. There's a lot of priests that are, but...
Well, how did you get passionate about this topic? I mean, because, again, you weren't, like, specifically trained in it. There's actually courses on marriage and family.
Marriage prep was one of my favorite aspects of parish ministry.
Really?
Just because of the variety of people that come to you. You get so many fascinating stories, so many people in different places.
But you look so young, John. People probably thought like, wait a minute, what's this like 15-year-old talking to me about marriage?
Well, a lot of times I'd talk to them on the phone and then they'd come in and, hey, I was expecting, you know, a 60-year-old or something.
Yeah, yeah, old fart. And actually, it's kind of nice to actually see the young, helping the young. So you've got an education and you have a little bit of experience and you have this vision. We're going to talk about the vision in the second half of the show and even tweak some of these ideas because it's not a perfect quote unquote idea yet.
Right.
But between now and then, what do you have to do to get to that vision?
In our office, we all came together over the past year and we've been trying to implement some of these ideas of a marriage catechumen. And this last year, in a sense, our biggest project and moving forward, a huge part of our project in this area is to inspire.
Inspire what?
Inspire priests, inspire parish leaders, inspire deacons.
Okay, now,
to the possibilities.
How do you do that? What's going on here? Because that just sounds like, you know, a motivational speaker from a guy who lives in a van down by the river or something. So, like, how are you going to inspire them? And honestly, I just want to hear, you're a layman.
Mm-hmm.
You know that I have a background in marriage as well, but I want to hear from you. What are you going to do to inspire my brother priests to take this seriously?
Yeah.
Besides yelling and crying.
Well, it's a challenge. And I think part of it is not just inspiring the priests. Actually, we found it to be a lot easier to convince married couples, to convince the deacons of this, because then they can look at the way they were prepared from. Just like, you know, I can share about the way we were prepared and kind of think about what could have been. So I think this is definitely an area that
do you think there's room for lay participation
to grow.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to talk about that in the second half. But do you think that priests are lazy? when it comes to marriage prep?
I would not say that. I think.
Are you thinking it?
I would go back to what I said before. I think some priests are passionate about it, and they're, but others, it's clearly not an area of, you know, it's not on the top of their list of things.
What do you think occupies a priest's time then? I mean, if they're not doing this, I mean,
like, I think a lot of
how much
priests,
do they actually do, you know, first communion preparation? How much do they do for?
Just getting the liturgies, you know, that they may be celebrating multiple masses a day. And I mean,
it's 30 minutes. I'm just kind of saying it because I know what the joke is. I would rather do 10 funerals than one wedding. Yeah. Why do you think that mentality has developed?
I don't know. You tell me, Father.
No, I'm really sure. I'm just kind of asking.
Because for me, it's something that I really enjoy, and I don't quite understand. To me, it's just such a neat opportunity, not only to connect with people, because you've got your subset of folks who are super involved in the church, and it's just neat to connect on a level with somebody who's got different questions than your, you know, going to daily mass every day person.
Sure. And so tell me a little bit about the culture of the people coming to the churches. Mm-hmm. What is your sense of them? And I know that you're not a statistics person. Excuse me. I'm tired, folks. I just got off a red eye. But like, what's been your experience? I mean, are they coming because they want to grow closer to God and make their marriage holy, or are they coming because they just want a pretty picture for the church?
Well, I'll tell you this. One of the things that does bug me is once in a while, you'll get a sense of a lot of cynicism about, you know, in just a few parishes, you know, you talking to the secretaries, oh, they just want to use the church for the wedding. They don't really care about any of this. But one of the things that's actually really surprised me, because one of the things our office is doing is leading the pre-canas. So we connect with the diverse range of couples preparing for marriage in our diocese. I would say the majority of couples, they don't have a bad attitude.
The couples. This is why I'm asking you. I'm trying to dispel some myths here.
They're open. They actually are in a place of openness.
If they come to the Catholic Church in this day and age, it's because they don't hate us. We should take full advantage of the fact that they don't hate us.
Right.
And use that opportunity to help them to love it.
Right. I think oftentimes if the couples, you know, seem really disconnected in the process, I think we need to look at ourselves too.
Sure.
Maybe our pre-cana isn't as good as maybe we think it is.
Oh, I'm sure
maybe
it's not.
Maybe our parish preparation isn't as good as we think it is.
Oh, clearly it's not.
So,
I mean, if we think about it, let's just break it down. At one point, marriage preparation was done, you know, prior to Vatican II, it was just done at home. You watched your mom and dad.
Right.
And then that's what you learned. Right. And then you started dating.
Yeah.
And then that's called the proximate preparation for marriage. The earliest is when you experience marriage from home. That's called remote. And then proximate. And then the immediate is when they, you know, get engaged and they meet the priest.
Right.
And we've got to jam it all into these six classes.
Right.
So when we come back, I'm going to hear about what your vision is.
Okay.
And maybe what we're going to do is inspire other people who are listening to get their butts out of their pews and get involved in marriage preparation. Mm-hmm. Because if priests can't do it, because sometimes they don't know what to do or say,
Right. Then
you can get involved. So when we return with John Proust with more Shoot the Shiitake, talking all about marriage. We'll be back in just a moment. We hope you're enjoying this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake. And if you are interested in learning more about marriage preparation and marriage formation, you might want to check out my book, Spicing Up Married Life, available at shop.fatherleofeeds.com. It is a book that encourages not anniversaries, but with 12 chapters, month-iversaries, monthly dinner dates with theological topics, as well as amazing recipes just for two people with engaging questions to start a real conversation about what they want their marriage to be like. And then, of course, a chapter about prayer. So if you want more information on this book, Spicing Up Married Life, you can get it at shop.fatherleofeeds.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake. I've got John Proust with me. Again, we're talking all about marriage, and I want to hear about his idea of what marriage preparation could look like. And so if there are priests who are listening, take notes, unless, of course, he screws up, and then I'll help you to get it with you. I'm kidding with you. No, I just kind of want to hear this, because you said something kind of enlightening. The Presbyterians had a better marriage preparation program than Catholics did.
Well, they had something.
They had something.
So there wasn't a high bar there.
Yeah, and of course you've never been to my marriage preparation program.
No, I haven't.
No, of course. but that's the point. Not everyone knows how to do it. So if we were to try to get this vision off the ground, what do you need to do? What does it look like?
One of the things we want to change is just the question, because a lot of times the question has been, what priest or deacon is going to prepare me? And so couples will, they might even shop around for their priest or deacon.
Usually don't they just go to their parish church?
Well, what we want to do is, again, take advantage of marriage preparation as sort of a component of parish renewal. And one of the tools that we've been using in our diocese that we're really promoting is a process that just started a few years ago, came out of Louisiana, a couple that was doing marriage preparation there. They were checking off all the sort of traditional boxes of marriage prep that, you know, they had a fantastic pre-cana retreat. They were assigning them mentor couples at the parish. They were doing a lot of really good things. But they made a slight shift in their marriage preparation of having the couples choose their own mentors. And certainly in our experience here in this diocese with the parishes that have done it, we've seen it that it really has made a difference in the sense of couples taking more personal ownership of the process.
Sure.
Because what Ryan and Mary Rose Verrett from Witness to Love found, what we found here is this idea that if you're assigned a mentor, it's just sort of another thing that the church is asking you to do.
And so there are generally three forms of marriage preparation programs currently. One is called the pre-cana, it's generally a weekend. The other, or a couple classes throughout the year, who knows? And the other is called pre-cana or engaged encounter weekends. Mm-hmm. And that's generally a weekend. It's retreat and everyone's crying at the end of it all. How theological is it? I'm sure it's intense and it's good. And then there is this, what they called sponsor couple or mentoring program.
Right.
And this is kind of what you're focusing on or all three? What does it look like? Well,
yeah, definitely all three. I mean, we think a marriage preparation process should definitely have like, you know, four main pieces, I would say, and maybe you could think of all four as sort of part of this marriage catechumen. And it's sort of a mix of, we really want to connect couples to the parish, but also obviously there's resources that on a diocesan level we can provide. You know, there's apostolic movements like Engaged Encounter that provide great resources in the diocese.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I mean, my books, Basic and Married Life,
and Father Leo's books, absolutely. So there's a lot out there. I think number one, there needs to be discernment, meeting with somebody, not necessarily a priest or deacon, maybe you have a lay person, maybe a staff person who's got that charism who can work with the couple,
sure,
kind of guide
so
them along.
You are
in their marriage prep
using
process.
A model similar to seminary formation, and that's called a formation director or a spiritual
director.
I think couples need that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Formation director.
So a good program has to have some ongoing relationships developed with a formational person.
Exactly.
Someone who's going to guide you spiritually,
right,
and someone who's going to guide you humanly.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Next, because I want people to take notes here.
Exactly. And most dioceses are doing this already, but some kind of pre-marriage inventory. And
that basically means a set of questionnaires to see compatibility, also known as the focus test.
Exactly. And it's really just, unless you explain it to them clearly, it's not a test. We're not going to keep you from getting married if you score 30% in a particular category. It's really just to highlight for the couple, what are your strengths and what are the areas you need to work on? Especially, what do you need to talk about more? I mean, finance is always a proverbial one that none of them have talked about, but other areas as well. And again, that's a great opportunity for that formation director too, to get to know them better. I was amazed at how open couples are when you start diving into the focus with them and how much they really genuinely want to share and grow. So it's a great opportunity for trust to be built with that formation director.
Well, then kind of preceding all of this, it presumes that when a couple comes to the Catholic Church to get married or even comes to a church to get married, because they could go to a wedding chapel in Vegas or to a courthouse, or they could get a friend to get an internet, you know, license for the day. But if they are coming to a church, whether it's Catholic or not, they're taking it seriously enough.
Yeah.
We have to presume that they are coming for good reasons, even if it's not perfect reasons.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be perfect reasons. But again, this is why you have a process. You help guide them along and form
them. And that
them.
Inventory tool that you're talking about is just a resource to help get the dialogue going.
Exactly.
To help assess where a person is.
Totally.
And okay, so we have to make sure we have obviously a mentorship relationship.
Uh-huh.
We have to have resources that helps to figure out where are you in your kind of process to get married in a mature, free fashion.
Again, something the church has done before, you know, having some kind of retreat or program that you attend, you know, that's certainly a valuable resource to have. But there's a lot of possibilities for that.
Okay.
Some parishes even have fantastic processes in the parish that they can connect with. Maybe it's RCIA for a particular couple. You know, in your conversations with them, maybe you find out that, you know, that they might be able to combine marriage prep with preparing for another sacrament. The pre-cana is sort of a colloquial term for things that the diocese will provide. We have a retreat in San Diego that we move around to different parts of the diocese.
What you're talking about then is making sure you're educating them?
Right.
Okay, so there's got to be an educational component.
Yeah, certainly the educational component comes in there. But really going back, it, you know, actually it was Familiaris Consortio that John Paul II came out with. You know, he talked about that good marriage preparation should involve intellectual formation. So
that's
the pre-cana is certainly part of that. But also connecting them to the parish community. And that right there is sort of what we think has been, you know, maybe a missing ingredient that we haven't quite fully developed in marriage prep, that I think Pope Francis is prodding us to maybe move more in that direction. And this is where something that we've been doing in San Diego comes in, which is really trying to encourage mentoring, which involves bringing basically other married couples into the marriage preparation process.
Okay, so I'm going to kind of organize it for people. They need to have a relationship of mentoring. Mm-hmm. They need to have resources that kind of explain who you are, almost an inventory of who you are and what do you need to do and grow in to be better in your marriage. And that's kind of like the focus test. And then the third thing that you mentioned is education, and that is certainly true. Intellectual formation about marriage. People have no clue what the sacrament of marriage is, and they need some theology.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this fourth thing that you're talking about is incorporation into a larger context. In other words, when you get married, you don't do it for yourself.
Right.
You actually are doing it for the betterment of the world.
Right.
I mean, that's a pretty freaking tall order.
And I think that's something couples really are not quite realizing.
Because we're not saying it.
Because we're not, not saying it.
That's why we're doing it now.
And the great thing with the mentoring process is it's one of those things that, you know, brings you to the realization without even realizing that you're starting to realize it. You realize how your relationship is now part of this greater whole.
Does it kind of look cliquish though? I mean, because I think people say that, oh, you know, our church, we have these marriage nights and it's just basically a bunch of, you know, young professional couples who are just kind of hanging out. I mean, will it look cliquish?
Well, so the process that we are kind of especially encouraging in San Diego is Witness to Love. And I mentioned that.
Sure.
The great thing about Witness
to Love. Sponsored by Witness to Love.
I feel like an advertisement for Witness to Love. But what we really do like about Witness to Love basically kind of structures, they're encouraged to meet at each other's houses. So it's, you know, totally laid back. You know, they can meet it when they're available. But they're asked to kind of focus in their sessions on how are we growing in the virtues.
Okay. So the reason why I even asked that, it was a totally loaded question, is because it can be a click. Unless you see it as a community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what your fourth component is really all about, is making sure that your couples who are getting married are plugged into a community. And it's not a clique because you're constantly inviting more couples into it.
Well, it's always, you're always going outside of yourself.
So in other words, you're putting the responsibility of marriage preparation back on the couples. And then when they are being formed, they, in a sense, can help form other couples.
Absolutely. It's about building a culture of couples realizing that just through the love that they share and growing in their relationship with one another, that in and of itself can be a tool for evangelization. And to me, that's a beautiful concept. And I see other couples when they recognize that, I can see the light bulbs go off and they're so excited by that as well.
Yeah. And so tell me about your success rates. I mean, obviously, you're going to see some couples do it. Have you ever had any couples just say, you know what, I really don't want to go through all this?
Well, that was one of the concerns when we first presented it to all the priests. We went to convocation and we presented it. That was one of the first kind of fears was, well, are the couples going to want to do this? Are they just going to see it as another thing they have to do? But the parishes that have done it, they have been pleasantly surprised. This is one of the things that couples genuinely are excited about. And when they see that a parish has it, who doesn't want more friends? and the fact of the matter is,
in other words, the answer is no. They're not going to. It could look like a hoop to jump through, but seminary could have been a hoop to jump through.
Right.
But those who took it seriously didn't see them as hoops, but rings of fire to purify us and to test us and to make sure that we are willing to go through all of this stuff. And what you're basically saying is let's hold couples accountable.
Yeah. And you know what? We want to get out of that checklist mentality. And the trouble is couples could fall into that checklist mentality, but parishes could too. They would present the material. They would give them a checklist of things they needed to do and they would send them on their way. So, you know, how can we have a marriage preparation process where you allow the Holy Spirit to work, where that's more organic, where you have a formation director, where you're bringing other couples into it, where there's just there's opportunities for fruit to grow out of it that you're not even necessarily, you don't know.
So between now and the time that you get this vision off the ground, what are you having to do? What are you trying to do? I mean, because I can imagine that some of, you know, if there's priests listening to this show or lay people who are involved in marriage prep, I was like, well, that'd be great. How do you do it? So what are you doing?
Animate, encourage.
What are you doing, dancing? But, what does that even mean?
I mean, and one of the things that we say again and again is like, you know, our office, we don't want to just be up on the hill, you know, in our ivory tower, so to speak. We've let priests and deacons know that we are here to help hands-on. Give us the person that you want to help you and we will train them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and, so and, you're what you're trying to do is recruit couples.
Yeah, I mean, really, to this isn't meant to be, you know, marriage prep in this way can't just be done by one or two guys alone. It really is more of developing a team, just like RCA has a team of people. Obviously, the pastor is ultimately, you know, in charge.
But, and that's going to require you to ask the pastor to help his parishioners discern whether they believe they're called
right
to get involved in helping marriages.
Absolutely. It's tying into this whole culture that many parishes have and others are growing and have. Everyone in this community has a particular calling to build up this community. And in terms of marriage prep, who are those people that are called to take a leadership role to help me with this?
So besides that, besides trying to develop a team, is there anything else that you can say that's going to help inspire people to get their act together and get marriage preparation up and running and healthy?
Well, and I would just say again, it's not just about marriage preparation. I mean, the potential for this, it ties into religious education. I mean, if your couples are in a strong marriage and they're connected to the faith community, so much of your catechism work is going to be getting done without you even, you know, realizing it. The mentor couples are going to be growing in their faith. I mean, I think this is something that can really just be like tree branches that are leading to, you know, strengthening so many other areas of your parish as well. So I'm passionate about it and I hope to help others get passionate about it as well, as much as I can.
Absolutely. Well, this is exactly so, what we need is young people like yourself and also lay people who are married to get involved. And when I return, I'm going to come back. I'm going to give you my carryout order and I'm going to help share ideas on what we did in my parish as I directed my own marriage preparation programs, which not only successful, it was turned into a best-selling book on how to make sure couples are taking the responsibility of marriage in their own hands. You can't leave it to the priest or the parish. You've got to do it. So married couples, get off your butts, get working, and get to be formed so that you can be forming others. And I'll return with my carryout order, thanks to our special guest, John Proust, the Associate Director of Marriage and Family in the Diocese of San Diego. And thanks for taking me to that Bon Mi place, which you had no idea where it even was. So in other words,
look good.
You're welcome.
I'll be back.
You'll be back. All right, listen, I'll be back too in just a moment with more Shoot the Shiitake. As we are talking about marriages, you have to know that I do a pretty fun presentation called Spicing Up Married Life, and couples from all backgrounds, even those who are just engaged and those who are celebrating more than 50 years, they come, they celebrate, they have amazing food, and more importantly, they know how to love each other the way God wants them to. So if you want more information on this presentation, just simply go to fatherleofeeds.com/events. It's great for parishes so that they can provide the information and formation to help build up a culture that celebrates marriage. You can learn more at fatherleofeeds.com/events. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, for my carryout order. And I'll admit to you, as I re-listened to this, I was just so grateful that John Proust could take my tough questions. I'll be very honest with you. I just came off of a red eye that morning. I literally flew in from God knows where and arrived in San Diego like around 9 o'clock. And I had to speak at like around 1 o'clock. And I wish I would have just spoken at 11 because then I would have been awake, but we had this kind of like lull time. And then because I hadn't eaten anything, we had that Bon Mi sandwich. And then boy, all I wanted to do was take a nap. Whoa. And so if I sounded a little cranky, I might have been, but John was a great guest. You would have made a better host than I would, but he was a great guest because he was willing to answer the tough questions. And so here's my carryout order. First of all, I should never do a radio show or a podcast interview when I get off a red eye. But I'm glad that I did because it shows the reality. And my carryout order is marriage preparation is a real problem in the church. Even though it's one of the great gifts that we have, it is a problem because we're not doing it well. And so what I think we need to do is just address why are we failing in marriage preparation as evidenced not by divorce, but by the lack of involvement that couples have in their community. You see, that's the big thing that I think John was talking about, trying to make sure that marriage preparation wasn't limited to simply, you know, just one person like the priest or one experience of marriage preparation, but no, an entire community. And when I come back for my premium content stuff, I'm actually going to just share some theological tips as to what marriage preparation ought to really look like. So if you are a premium subscriber, you're going to get that information. If you're not and you're interested, just simply be a premium subscriber at $10 each month, and you get each week more theological content directly to your inbox. But back to my carryout order. His big thing was about community. And if there's one thing that kept coming to my heart and mind is that while we have a responsibility to go out into the world, we also have to take care of people who come to our church. And that's not just at Sunday Mass, because sometimes they come and they really don't want to be there. Let's admit it. But if they are coming to us for marriage preparation, then we've got to take advantage of this and provide for them something amazing. John mentioned that there is a great disparity in the expectations for couples getting married as opposed to even baptism or communion or confirmation. There are actually requirements for those sacraments, but there's very little requirements for the sacrament of marriage, and that's a shame. There are two sacraments that bring holiness into this world, and one of them is the priesthood and consecrated life, and the second one is the sacrament of marriage. And if it takes me 6 years, why does it take married couples just 6 classes? And how do we even assess whether they're even getting it, so to speak? Which is why I'm grateful. What John said is that he kind of wants to create like a community of people who are going to certainly be mentors. We call them in seminary formation directors, whether it be a formation director or a spiritual director. They're a type of mentor that you report to in order to kind of solidify who you are and what you're all about. But anyway, that kind of stuff is what I think he was trying to create, a sense of community, a sense of accountability with appropriate expectations, and also create a culture that supports marriage, which is why recently my organization, Plating Grace, in conjunction with the Table Foundation, because that's where all the food comes out of, Plating Grace is really the content creation portion, the nonprofit group, the Table Foundation, is where we're actually serving food, making it happen. Well, we have been embarking on this kind of study to do these spicing up married life talks or these pre-Valentine or Valentine Day celebrations because couples are desperate. And you got to know that marriage is not something you do on your own. I said it in the interview, and just to affirm what John was saying, when you get married and it impacts the world. Like your one marriage matters to more than just the two of you. So when people say, I should be able to get married to whoever I want to, while that might be true, please know that you don't get married in an isolated bubble. You get married for the good of society. And therefore, your example in marriage matters to the world. Because if you are not faithful in your marriage, then guess what happens? Your family will experience that breakdown. Your neighbors will experience that breakdown. And we all know that faithful families that are actually staying together, they live in those places where the community grows in a healthy way. In other words, if you've got a healthy community, it's because you have healthy families. And healthy families ought to, not exclusively, they ought to have a strong, faithful marriage. And if a couple, unfortunately, and it's always unfortunate, that gets separated and divorced. And I'm speaking out of experiences because I have a sister who was divorced, and it is unfortunate. But if that is the case, then that means the couple who were originally married still has a great responsibility, ready for this, to love each other for the good of their family. Even if that is not married love, they still have a great responsibility to care for each other because after all, they are the, you know, mother or the father of their own children. So I just think that if we have healthy communities, it's only because we have a healthy and hopefully practicing understanding of marriage. So as we kind of bring this particular topic to a close, again, our premium subscribers are going to hear a little bit more about marriage preparation as I would do it. But let me just give you one example of what we would do to keep that excitement going, because once a couple is excited, they would come to us. The last thing we want to do is just have them jump through hoops, because that's nothing, you know, short of just depressing. So what we did was we greeted them with a nice little gift box that had all of the information in it to just get them excited, knowing that we cared about them too. And if they are coming to our church, it is for an important reason. Whether they know it or not, they are probably subconsciously coming to church to make sure that God is a part of their marriage. And that is a good thing for all of us. I want to thank my guest again, John Proust of the Diocese of San Diego, the Associate Director for Marriage and Family Life. I want to thank the diocese for the invitation to come and to celebrate this kind of catechetical day for their priests and their staff. It was a great day. And it was a beautiful day. Like, the weather in San Diego is always perfect somehow. And I also want to thank you for being listeners. And I really do hope that these shows are making a difference. You know, I travel around the world and I hear people say, oh, yeah, I hear your show. And, you know, it's interesting. And I say, really, what's interesting about it? He goes, well, you know, I thought it'd be like more Catholic all the time. And I said, well, just because I'm not talking to Catholic people all the time, it doesn't mean that it's not Catholic. You see, and I think one of the things we have to do is get our heads out of our Catholic bubble and realize that there is a world around us. We've just got to get to know them. And why? I'm going to end with this. We are wedded to each other. And I know that sounds odd, but because we are part of the human family, we are obligated to each other. Not in the way the sacrament of marriage weds people together, but we are bonded together as part of the human family. But then what's the difference between that bond and a marital bond? Well, exactly. There's a huge difference between the sacramental bond and our bond as a human family. And the biggest difference of all is that you have made it a sacred bond. And while I have to stay connected to my brothers and sisters, no matter who they are in this world, I don't share that intimate bond, that physical and sexual bond that a couple will have, which is what we're going to be talking about in the premium discussion. So I hope you, my brothers and sisters in faith, enjoyed the show. Gives you something to think about. Go ahead and get my book, Spicing Up Married Life. I think it'll certainly help. Many couples have benefited from it around the world, saying that doing a monthly dinner date has just changed their marriage for the good. So I'm hoping your marriage and your relationships will experience the blessing that God wants it to be, not just for yourselves, but for the world. And so between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry. We hope you enjoyed this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. And if you want more information on my resources for marriage, all you've got to do is go to shop.fatherleofeeds.com and you can get the book, Spicing Up Married Life. And we thank you again for listening, and we hope you encourage family, friends, parishioners to subscribe on their local podcast platform, and also encourage everyone to be a supporter, either as an advertiser or as a premium content subscriber. $10 or more each month gets you more access to Catholic goodness delivered right to your mailbox. Learn more at shoottheshiitake.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com.